Blog Talk Radio.
Front porch swing and the evening shade. Sipping on grape-flavored Kool-Aid while Marvin Gaye sings in the background. Let's get it on. Hopscotch, Jack's, red light, green light, Mother May I. Back in the days of soft ways and easy understanding. When I was a little girl, Mama taught me to serve the Lord. Daddy said, Nina Bell, don't be nobody's fool. Thought I was grown on $5 a week, and staying up all night made me groan. When going all the way meant marry the man before the child. Never knew the pain of true love. My biggest fear, the redhead girl would never come to marry Charlie Brown. No. But a kiss and a red light raised my age, and a sip of wine to hit the good time. The basement prior made me laugh while the Jacksons said,
we get it out in the park because it's 187 on the undercover car. New York, big city of dreams, because cash rules everything around me. Cream is the money. Microphone checker, cause what's salt and pepper without the umbrella? Yo, chilling with the rest of your crew, because when they reminisce over
yeah,
you,
see,
my God.
I remember the freedom of walking the street, sleep at night, doors open wide. A pimp was not the end thing to do. When a gang was seven riding in a four-seater, a switch on your back, respect your fellow man. Back then it was cool for a village to raise your child. Backyard wedding receptions, barbecue feasts, block parties, dancing in the street. With Grandmaster Flash and Sugar Hill Gang were anomalies. Afros, dashikis, and white collar shirts, big hoops and mini skirts. When dancing down the Soul Train line is where I wanna be. Today we look the same, but everything has changed along for the days when we were free. Free in our hearts to love and free to serve the God above. The days and ways we used to
we did it out in the park because it's 187 on the undercover car. New York, big city of dreams, because cash rules everything around me. Cream is the money. Microphone checker, cause what's salt and pepper without the Cinderella? Yo, chilling with the rest of your crew, click on when they reminisce over you, my God. I got the bell bottoms, the illo fro, butterfly collar, coolie high camp flow, champagne supernova, leather interior, Donnie Hathaway booming as I recline, turn a couple corners, spice like piranha, summertime, hot like a sauna, dice against the wall, Chuck Taylor's on my feet, it's like we all family living on the same street, food stamp free cheese, we pick our own switches, the first time I heard a pimp yell deal, right on your dig, got a gig, my neg, running up it's cold-blooded, just dead in bed. My big screen TV was a floor model. On the corner, brown bag with the 40 bottle. Black fist pumping, rewired for the end. Shoot, might as well go ahead and steal something. We did it out in the park because it's 187 on the undercover car. New York, big city of dreams, because cash rules everything around me. Cream is the money. Microphone checker, cause what's salt and pepper without the Cinderella? Yo, chilling with the rest of your crew, because when they reminisce over you, my God.
These memories of old school taking me back to days of soft ways and easy understanding, like when dancing was done in a basement under a red light. How the after hours joint would bang when the club would shut down. Sweat pouring off our backs as we would freak through the bump in the monorail. Days of old school.
peace and blessings, and welcome to the Leopard Carpet tonight. Well, my special guest is going to be Neo Soldier, and I just opened up the show with a piece called Days by My Girl. I want to welcome you to the Leopard Carpet, Neo Soldier.
Hello, how are you?
I am so excited, my friend, to have you on the show tonight. I have not had a spoken word artist on the show in quite a while, and on top of the fact that you're an amazing singer and songwriter, I'm thrilled.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad. Thank you so much. You know, and honestly, you've got some fans around town. They were like, people were sending me message, big triggers, like, oh, that's my girl. I'm going to have to make sure I rush home to listen. And, you know, I understand you've been out there to Philly to perform at his show a few times.
I have.
And then Jazzy Blue, she sent me a message. She's like, I saw her perform live at a Big Trigger show, you know. So I was like, okay.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So you know what? There's been somebody waiting on the line, I think, just for you. So if you don't mind, generally I do start the talking and asking questions, but this person's been waiting. So I'm going to bring them in, if that's okay with you, Neo Soldier.
Go right ahead.
All right. All right,
hey,
Alvin Lloyd Alexander Horn, your line is open.
Hey, Lady Flavor. And hey, Neil, how are you going to think that you're going to step into my city? You have to come through me first. But for Lady Flavor, I'm going to let you slip and slide. But I'm telling you right now, my tongue is out, parting the scalp to your head as I come down your backside, spin you around, go face to face so you can smell my scent and get into your pheromones, into your brain, so that you and I can have a conversation.
My stalker. You know, I don't care where I go.
My stalker.
I have fans and I have stalkers, and I have stalker groupie fans. He is the latter. Hi,
Yeah, okay. I'm your favorite stalker.
He's my favorite stalker. He is.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So Neo Soldier, you know, I hate to put my dear friend on blast and everything. Okay, Alvin and I go way back to what I was 17. Alvin.
Yeah, you was a teenager.
Yeah, I was a little girl, right?
Yeah.
You know, and he was one of my biggest supporters, best friends, you know, confidant, bodyguard, everything at my coffee shop that started me out as Lady Flava, Flava Coffee House. But do you know that I've been on the radio for 2 years, a little over two years, right? Do you know that Alvin has never called into my show until tonight?
Wow.
So maybe I need to have you come around a little bit more often, Neo Soldier, so I could get some support from my brother here.
Yeah,
I'm sitting over
here
speechless.
You got to fix that, Alvin. You have to do that.
So why are you Neo Soldier's stalker then? We would just start that out. Why don't you tell everybody who Neo Soldier is and why you stalk her?
I stalk her because her and I, when we have a conversation, when we write back and forth, it's almost like she's pulling something out of me and I'm pulling something out of her, and we get to go places that other people don't get to go. You know, like when you fall in love and for that short moment you just give everything to that person and you just lost in la-la land. Well, when her and I get together and do something, that's kind of what it feels like, you know. And she hates it that I'm all inside her brain and know what's going on. But then again, she loves it, you know, because I'm always knocking on her door. And she opens it, and she sees me standing there, and I have to walk right on in. She's got her stilettos in, and I walk and pull them off, make her sit down, tell her to hush, I got this. And she loves that because, she's a control freak, you know. So when I take over, she's like, okay, I got to give in to this brother at least and everything. So that's how we connect up.
Wow.
That's his story. I have a looking for him, yeah.
I think you got Neil Soldier over here speechless too. She's like, okay, what do I even say now? This, we're public now. See, we did all this writing behind the scenes. No.
Uh-huh.
So actually, I'm waiting for him to keep talking so they can find him. We're going to find him.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, you know, when I saw, see, it's so funny because I saw Alvin's number, you know, on the line before you had called in, right? And I'm like, Alvin.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed every time I had posted the flyer about you coming on the show, he hit the like button. He never hits the like button on anything I do. You know,
wow.
He's kind of like one of those big brothers that it's really hard to get his approval, you know, on anything. You know, he never gives me praise. He never gives me praise. But when he sees me out of line, oh, he has no problem scolding me, right? And I was like, okay, obviously there's some big deal about Neil Soldier because he's paying attention to me now. Well, I know that it really wasn't him paying attention to me. He was paying attention to you. See, I can't even talk, you know. But anyway, well, you know, Alvin, I'm just thrilled to death to finally actually have you call into the show. I know it has nothing to do with me, you know, but periodically I'm going to beg Neil Soldier to come back. So, you know, maybe you might call into my show.
Now, Susan, Lady Flavor, hold up. I have been on your show once before. It's been
really?
A while.
Oh, well, you know, I'm old.
Okay. What are you saying? If I'm your big brother.
I don't remember that time, but it must have been like a really long time ago.
It's been a minute. But that's because you've blown up and you got all these superstars like Neil coming on your show.
I know,
you
isn't that really something?
A hometown kid like me, you know, hey.
Well, you know what? You know what, Alvin? I think we need to talk her into coming into Seattle, Washington, letting Flavor News do a mini tour with her.
Nice. I'm open to that.
You know, and Alvin, you could maybe do some spoken word and stand up bass with her.
Oh, I plan to. We've been planning on doing something for a minute, haven't we, Neil?
Okay.
We have. We just polar opposites of the plan.
Okay, so you know, so I will be in touch, Neil Soldier, and you know, we'll try to make that happen then. If that's something you're interested in.
Oh, I would be honored to do that. Don't let me have a good time. I am there.
Okay. So, Alvin, see, you just threw me all off on how I normally do my featured shows. But it's okay, right?
It's all right.
All right, darling. Alvin, I'm going to put you on hold because I know you just want to take over my shows.
Hey.
Stalker.
So do you want to stay on the line and listen, though?
I'll be here.
All right. All right, darling, then I'm going to put you on mute.
See you, honey.
All right, Neil Soldier. Well, you know, welcome to the leopard carpet with me tonight. You know, I had to let him come on in because, you know, he's older than me. And, you know I'd get a tongue lashing if I didn't open up that phone line. And like I said, he never called into my show ever. Well, he claims once before. I'm going to have to go back through my archives and maybe listen to see where he actually called in, but I'm honestly thrilled, you know, to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It really is an honor. It is. I don't take anybody that appreciates my ramblings lightly. I don't.
I think that you in just listening to your pieces, because what's exciting for me is you're new to me. You're obviously not new to Alvin, but you're new to me.
Okay.
And so I love that when I have this opportunity of listening to somebody and doing a little exploration, you know, and Googling and this, that, and the other to find out information to kind of get a feel. But I have to tell you, you know, your style is simply beautiful. And I think that, you know, one thing that Alvin and I have talked about over the years is that, you know, it takes a certain person. When it comes to especially spoken word, but you can blend, you know, of course, your amazing vocals in there, too, to command the attention of, you know, the listeners of an audience. And I think clearly you've definitely honed that, you know, and that's what's opened up the door for you to travel to Philly and perform at spotlight in jazz, on jazz and poetry, and you know, go into all the other locations that you have. But why don't you take us back a little bit, and where did this creativity and this creative soul come from within you?
I think it is just a it's something that was brought up in me, just like my child rearing. You know, everyone in my house liked a different type of music. My mom was gospel. My dad was blues. I had one brother that was very much into rock, one into jazz. Two of my siblings were into R&B. And I liked country.
I
love R&B, but, yeah, I really do. Country music tells the best stories.
Right,
and,
right.
So it was kind of an indwelling of all of that. And, you know, when I was coming up, music had so much more substance than it does now. It was a mainstay in your life. You know, it was something that you woke up to. You woke up and turned on the radio. You drove with the radio. You came home with the radio. You listened to it at night. Mm-hmm. And so, excuse me, it was a combination of all of those things combined with my love to write. And I've been writing ever since elementary school, when I first got my first diary. I've been writing ever since then.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That, you know, so you realize that you have that capability of, like, putting words together and really expressing yourself at a very young age. I mean, I guess if it was in your diary in the beginning, it was private, you know. But when did you, like, really go public with the fact that you, I don't know, felt compelled to share words in a creative way?
You know, I fell into poetry. I tell everybody that. You know, I'm a singer that happens to write poetry. I mean, I've sang my whole life. But I came into poetry in 2003. And I wrote a poem just for fun and performed it at Babbie Mason's music conference. And she saw the vision of Neo Soldier. She's the one that actually baptized me Neo Soldier, that name.
Okay.
And her conference, like I said, was one of the second largest in the country. So there were songwriters and singers and musicians from all around the country, and they were there listening to me, and they just started to pour into me that creative process, words and rhyming dictionaries and word menus and thesauruses. And I came back from Atlanta to Cleveland and got immersed in the poetry community here, but I also connected to the poets from Deaf Poetry Jam. So
right.
between the three, that's kind of where it was birthed from. And I went out of the songwriting structure more into the freestyle flow of poetry, which I love, because it allows me to express myself even more creatively than you would be able to in a song. A song needs to be hummable and memorable.
Right.
You know, it has some repetition that needs to be there, but poetry doesn't.
So where do you think that, where, in your opinion, where do you see poetry and spoken word, like, standing in, you know, how am I trying to say this to you? You know, where do you see that as far as, you know, being a force to really pay attention to in the mainstream of all of this when it comes to the arts? I mean, there's so much competitiveness when it comes to the mainstream things. And then, you know, you know, I support the underground independent artists. So I'm, you know, I'm all about putting out there in any way that I can, you know, people that I just think are absolutely amazing. But I know that when it comes to spoken word, it's almost in a sense, which is so sadly, you know, for me to even say it, that it's kind of looked at as the stepchild, you know, of the arts. And to me, it's almost one of the origins, you know, of the storytelling. Do you think that spoken word will ever be recognized for, and get its due just amongst the arts?
You know what? I'm going to say this, and, you know, I think the poetry community has heard enough out of me to know that, you know, I'm always going to tell the truth at the risk of offense.
Okay.
And I really believe that it will grow up when we grow up. And when I say grow up, I'm not calling anybody immature. I mean grow up in the strength of our writing.
Yes.
The because we are, I really think that because spoken word is so much the underdog, that when we do gain a certain level of notoriety, we tend to ride that wave and not expand ourselves. Mm-hmm. And in the poetry community, and I've been, you know, as you see from just the things I've done over the past couple of years, I've been blessed to be able to go to different states and hear poetry in different communities.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing is the majority of it is it can't be repeated on the air. It's full of profanity or it's graphically sexual.
Okay.
And so that limits us from being mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part is a lot of the industry, and I do talk to a lot of executives in the industry, they don't take us seriously because, and hear me, poets, because these are their words, we don't take us seriously. They don't see us growing and evolving as poets. They see us drop poems about being mad at everybody or having a lot of sex, and then when somebody doesn't like what we said, we write a poem about them.
Right, right.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And you, that level of immaturity cannot go forth in the music industry because it's business. And everybody's not going to like you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I believe that if you expand yourself, if you stretch your boundaries, you can go further in that. You know, and it's not a tooting of my horn at all, but I've been exposed to the different arenas I have because I try always to learn from somebody that's outside of the realm of what I do.
Okay.
You know, I was able to do it in church because I used to be a Bible study teacher and a worship leader. I've been able to go to corporate America because I know some business executives. You know, you expand ourselves past those four walls of the open mic when you walk in and everybody knows your name and you're the celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
I think once we do that, once we really decide, you know what, I am a real serious poet and I really want to be an artist and get past those four walls and stretch that gift, then the industry will pay us a little more attention because it's a beautiful gift and it's being ignored, but a lot of that is our fault.
Interesting point. Interesting point. And I really appreciate the fact that, you know, you share your honest thoughts about it. And it is something, you know, for me to really think about because I have thought about it over the years from back in the day of Flava Coffee House and when Alvin and I used to throw the open mics, you know, at Flava. There were some amazing talents that stepped on the stage. But on top of that, when we were able to get somebody to come to the coffee shop for the open mics who has never experienced spoken word before, they always came back, you know, and they fell in love. But it was, for some reason, it was like, you know, you just say, oh, you know, come hear some spoken word or some poetry. For some reason, you know, people were just like, no, I don't want to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got something better to do, even if it was sitting on my couch, you know, just being a couch potato.
Right.
But once you were able to actually get them to come experience it, then they got it. But it was a matter of just trying to coax them to come. So it's interesting to think about your perspective. But, you know, I have to say, you know, just as I'm absorbing it right now, it kind of makes sense to me when I think over, you know, briefly, you know, in what I've been experienced as an outsider. So, you know, I think you're right. I think that a lot of people put themselves into a box. They limit themselves as to how they write, the subjects that they write on, and, you know, who they choose to expose themselves to. And
right.
I think it's a beautiful thing that you take all kinds of experiences in your life and people in your life that you've been exposed to, and you're like, huh, you know, how can I use what my talents and reach them? Because I do think that spoken word is a beautiful tool of storytelling, of allowing us to own our emotions and our feelings, and you know, and if you're good at it, like yourself, you know, drawing people in and taking them outside of themselves for a moment, you know.
Right, right.
Wow.
It does. We don't realize that we can paint a world with words. Mm-hmm. I've heard some poets over the years. Last year, I consider myself blessed and fortunate to have been a judge in part of the Individual World Poetry Slam.
Okay.
And I listened to those topics, and I listened to them talk, and I mean, I heard everything from a person talking about being abused as a child but still having respect for their parents, to a man writing a letter to a woman and letting her know that her husband was on the down low, and he knew because he was his lover.
Mm.
And I heard about God. I heard about death. I heard about cancer. I heard about, you know, just silly things, and black music and white music and cultures joining together. And it was so educational. I left feeling refreshed, you know. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with erotic poetry. I write it myself. But
right.
I think that you need to be a well-rounded artist, even if that's your niche. If you're going to be an erotic writer, great. But expand yourself. Write some that have no profanity at all. Be more metaphorical.
Right.
Talk about romance and not just sex. Include love. You know. And so I think when people start doing that and more people come into the community and realize, hey, this is a beautiful thing. Now,
right.
To me, the saddest thing that ever happened was when Deaf Poetry Jam went off the air.
Exactly.
Really.
Right.
Really.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree, because that allowed us to be able to experience something new from all around the world. If you chose to tune into BET and all of that, and you might come across this particular show, and it may be something that you never experienced, but it was like so amazing and so powerful to just see these people come, you know, get on the stage, very laid back, you know, environment it appeared, you know, but be able to spit something, and you're like, you know, usually you're sitting at the edge of your seat saying, wow,
mm-hmm.
wow,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I can't even really get anything else out, and you walk away thinking about it, right? But when you
right.
go to a concert, you hear somebody sing or whatever, you might be all into the groove of it, right? But you're really not initially really paying attention to the words or whatever. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
when it comes to music, it takes you a few times for you to, you know, just really pay attention to the words. But I think when it comes to spoken word and somebody who knows how to really use their voice and deliver it, you can grab that person that very first time around.
Yes,
and leave
can.
Them, you know. And so, yeah, I feel you on that. It is very sad because that did allow for a public, you know, national forum for people to be exposed to it and for those artists to have that opportunity to get exposed that way, you know, on the air because, you know, most spoken word artists are limited to their own hometown and their own little open mics and stuff in their community.
Right.
You
right.
know, and we know that it's hard, you know, to, you know, get that money together and to be able to travel. And, I've heard the stories, of different artists that have come out here to Seattle Poetry Jam and stuff like that. And even though they're out there religiously, you know, flying from place to place performing, you know, they got their hustle on. It's like, I got my books. I got my CDs
right.
in the back of the room, you know, please buy it, you know. And so, you know, it's not an easy hustle to be out there as a spoken word artist wanting to, you know, make some money. But, you clearly have been blessed, you know, to have had opportunities to get out there and amongst, you know, and in front of a variety, a very, very diverse group of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have.
And why do you think that you've had that opportunity to be able to step out there like that?
Well, you know, outside of the obvious, you know, of God just blessing me to be able
right.
to do it, I am a rare breed in that the majority of poets don't sing.
Right.
And so because I'm a singer first, that gives me a little more room. You know, I've experienced both. I've experienced walking to the mic in a nightclub and just doing poetry, maybe with the band there, and I don't sing at all. And
okay.
it's very hard to grab their attention. It's not that you can't, but it's a little trickier. You have to be a little
okay.
more creative. because I'm able to sing and I know a whole catalog of music, it opens the door for me a little bit easier because I can go into a jazz club because I know standards and blues clubs because I know the blues and, you know, because I had all of that coming up when I was younger.
Right, right.
So that gives me a little more room to walk into some of those places. And some of them have been challenging, you know, like Spotlight on Jazz. The first year I went, I was one of the guests, so I wasn't the headliner.
Okay.
And, you know, it was fun. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I didn't know that they liked it so much until Big Trigger emailed me back and it actually sent me a letter and told me that they wanted me to come back by popular demand as the headliner. And they're like, what, really? And so that was a different challenge. I loved it because when I got there, and I think every poet should do that, go someplace where nobody knows you.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody there except Big Trigger, Celestial Dancer, and Damian Nova, who went with me, one of my partners, and like two or three people from the year before. And it was a packed house. It was standing room only. And that was the meet it, beat it, or street at time. You know?
Good point.
It was either, yeah, it was meet the challenge, beat the challenge, or hit the street because it's just what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, and I love it. But, and things like that open the door for you as well.
Well, I bet that it may be hard, must be hard, to step in front of people, like you said, that you don't know. And you're kind of wondering, okay, how are they going to receive me? Because I know how they're going to receive me at home, you know.
Right.
And like, okay, are they going to like my style, you know, or whatever. So, I think stepping out of the box and having that courage to do it definitely steps up, you know, your game in a sense. Because you kind of know what you learn to know what works and what works in different regions to in front of different types of audiences and all of that. And, you know, I commend you for having the courage to do that. But clearly, you've got the talent. You've got the talent. So it's like, And like you said, with the fact that you are also a singer and you blend that in with your spoken word, it's like, I do think that it gives you a little bit of an edge over the others where maybe you could blend into a soul set, you know, for instance, you know, we've got Monica Monet coming out and performing here on tour next week, you know, and so it's like, you know, I could totally see you actually on the same bill with Monica Monet.
Oh, cool.
You know what I mean? So
you
have that ability. It's not like you have to go somewhere that is just for spoken word, you know. So, you know what, with that said, let me jump into another track so the live listeners can get a taste. There are a lot of people on the phone. I don't know if any of you want to speak to Neil Soldier. You know, raise your hand. Just hit that one button. Let me know. I'm sure she'd be willing to speak with you. But otherwise, I want to jump into, I think I'm going to play Color by Neil Soldier, my special guest on the Leopard Carpet tonight.
Designed me with brushstrokes long and brushstrokes short, redefined me, limb stroke amber and queenly breast kiss with hues mahogany and ripe. Again and again he dipped his brush inside with strokes hard and strokes soft, caressed hips with melon deep to the core, finding their center brushstroke shades, reds of passion, gold hints of desire, silver streaks of sensuality, again and again.
Touching my saffron skin.
Conversation, and I want your feedback on it because I just feel you're one of those people that is just going to keep it real.
Right.
So, you know, and I have a tendency to keep it real.
There you go.
I was having this conversation with a producer the other day, and I said, you know, when it comes to spoken word, it's not always something I would put in the CD player to listen to every single day.
Right.
And but when it comes to music, I could play certain artists' music every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, you know, I was going to say something silly like jiggle and jive to it. But I'm like, okay, that sounds kind of corny, right?
Okay.
Maybe that's showing my age or whatever.
Freedom, I got you.
You know? But you know, I mean, it's like there are certain artists that that are musical talents, you know, and that I'll put in every day sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the spoken word artist, you know, maybe once a week, maybe
right.
Not even that often. But
right.
I think that you have a style, though, I could listen to.
Oh.
And, you know, more frequently. But what are your thoughts about what I just said, though?
You know, I have to agree. I mean, I have a pretty nice collection of spoken words.
Okay.
And it is an applied art. I mean, you have to be willing to sit down and listen, almost like an audiobook. And so it's not something like music is, it's not necessarily mindless, but it accompanies everything. You can house clean, drive, cook, make love,
right.
Read a book, have a conversation,
right.
All this music in the backdrop. But you can't
right.
with spoken word. You have to actually sit down and focus on it. And I think that's part of the reason why it doesn't have as much rotation appeal.
Right.
Because of that.
Right.
But I agree.
Right.
I do have some. I might turn it on and listen to it for 15, 20, 30 minutes and then may not pick it up again for weeks.
And in that, that probably is also the struggle in being able to gain the support of potential fans and consumers, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. You know, it's hard to get airplay because they're going, well, we're a radio station, and all that talking, it makes it seem like it's a talk station or they won't focus or anything, you know. So it does make it very difficult. You have to have, I would say, anybody seeking sponsorship or someone to really support that art, you have to find somebody who loves the arts, not
yeah.
just music, but they have to like all expressions of art, and they'd be more inclined to give you a little room.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So where would you like to see spoken word go in this industry of art and, you know, people having that opportunity to be exposed and experience it, to then the artists themselves being able to gain that recognition and honestly, you know, bottom line, in you know, is make some money from it.
Right, right. You know, I'd like to see it come from being a byproduct to a necessity.
Mm.
And what I mean by byproduct is most old spoken words venues are in a nightclub, a supper
right.
club, someplace like that. We're the byproduct. Because it's in that environment, there's drinking, there's talking, there's everything else, you usually have to have a band to help hold the attention span while you have somebody up there.
Mm-hmm.
When I say revert to a necessity, I like to see us have our own buildings. And, you know, if we want to have supper there, that's great. We want to serve alcohol, that's great. But the reason people are coming there is because it's a poetry place where you can happen to have a drink,
right.
not a bar where
right.
you happen to have poetry.
Right.
You know, and I think that if we banded forces more and you know, be a little less competitive against each other and more
mm-hmm.
competitive against the market that tries to shut us out, and join forces and do these things. You know, if people don't realize we are arts. There are grants. There's federal funding available to be able to do this.
Yes.
And
yes.
you could, you know, you can go out and get one of these buildings. The economy is bad. People would love for you to come in and rent their space, please. And go in and rent their space. And, you know, in the community, I don't care if your menu is flaming a rack of yak to chicken fingers. You know, have something
right.
in there for them to have. You know, you could have one of the best mixologists on earth, or you could serve up, you know, wine out of a box.
Yeah.
You know, it all depends on the type of vibe you want to have. Have a
right.
keyboard player or a full-fledged band, but it's ours. We're not trying to get into a club. This is ours. The $5
right.
we pay at the door goes back into the community.
Yeah. So, do you know of any place that's like that?
Can I sadly tell you I do not?
Wow. Have you shared this concept with others that, you know, that might want to get on board?
I have. I think I just shared it with the wrong set.
And you know,
what I mean by that is I don't think they were ready for that venture. You know,
because
like I said, we have to stop competing with each other and realize that we will be a mighty force if we join forces together.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I love that idea. I really do. I think that I think afterwards Alvin and I are going to have a conversation around this, you know, because, I mean, he always talks about, you know, I wish you, you know, reopen Flavor, or, you know, I miss the day of, you know, sitting and writing, you know, at Flavor and stuff like that. But, you know, I can see it. You know, just in you explaining it and telling me your thoughts, I can visualize it, Neil Soldier, you know, and I can feel it. You know, it's one of those things like, I get it. I get it. You know, I can see it. I can feel it. I can smell the food. I can hear the voices. I can see the performers on their stools or, you know, whatever it is. You know, I can see it, you know. Yeah. Okay. See? See, I knew
right.
I was going to like having you on my show tonight.
Oh.
I love when I feel blessed and excited. You know, artists like you make it so worthwhile being me. You know, because sometimes it's not easy being me. You know what I mean? But it's like I'm sitting over here in Seattle, Washington. We had snow today. Snow,
ooh,
hail, rain, sunshine.
Ooh.
We've had everything. But I'm sitting over here with a big old Kool-Aid grin, just plotting and planning while you're talking.
Right.
So I'm excited about that. And we might have to have a conversation sideboard on some of this stuff. But
sure, anytime.
You know, I love that concept. And I think that you've been around enough, you've been exposed to many types of audiences and experiences that you've had the time to think it through, too, why this doesn't work. Now, you touched on the fact that poets, spoken word artists are very competitive, and I've recognized that years back from when I first started getting online and kind of going around to the Blog Talk Radio shows that had the open mics for spoken word. And it was just really interesting just sitting back and kind of watching how they engaged each other and all of that. Why do you think it's so competitive versus just coming together as family and just, like you say, building an industry around spoken word so that it's respected and recognized?
Wow, that's a good question. I honestly think that it is because we are so much the underdog. You know, the only venues we have are the ones we have. And so if you're in an open mic spot and there are 30 regular poets, that crab mentality is very easy to buy into, because you want to be the best at the game and you want that level of fame and you haven't looked outside those four walls. So you scratch and do whatever you need to do to become the top of the game at that place. Now, every poet doesn't do that, but that is the mentality of quite a bit of the spoken word community, because we don't look outside of those four walls and see what else is available. We fight each other within those four walls. And I really think that if we would take ourselves seriously as artists, you know, not just don't do it for that 3 minutes and 30 seconds worth of fame that you have when you get up there because you said some really hot lines or, you know, it was really profound and, you know, you're in a vein for a minute there and you're writing, you know how it is, you get that creative flow and every poem you come out with is just a killer and every time you hit the stage, it's amazing. And then people start loving you and you get caught up in that love more than you get disciplined in your craft to go even further.
Yes.
And because of that lack of discipline of going further, we get stuck. We stick ourselves, you know, like I said, it's more our fault than anybody, you know, because the industry, as I said earlier in another interview, like the industry doesn't take us seriously because they don't see us take us seriously.
Right.
You know,
right.
we need to assert ourselves more. And now there's balance. Okay, if you don't want to go that spectrum, fine. You're content being the local artist. Great. The message is not for you. Don't be offended at it. But if you are saying that you want to be that person, then you need to pick up a book. You know, I have books that I write with. I call them my Bibles for spoken word. I have a Random House word menu, a complete rhyming dictionary, and an international thesaurus as opposed to collegiate, because collegiate is alphabetical, where international is thematic, it's based on theme. So I can learn all the words I need to about depression or anything like that. In the word menu, you pick a topic, and it'll give you every word connected to that topic and its definition.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, so if I'm going to write about politics, I'm not just going to bash Romney or celebrate Obama or vice versa, if that's your flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to dig deep into politics and learn the language and the terminology and make it a poem that doesn't just hit those four walls. I can then take that poem and go to a rally
because, see, they've heard it. And now they want me to come and do this at this rally because Obama's coming to Cleveland. Hey, can you come spit that poem here? Mm. That's what opens the doors. The wider your art, the wider the door.
Mm.
You know, but when we keep it in those little four, my poor friends are going to love this, then that's where you are. And you can't get offended if you don't go any further.
Right.
Because that's where you put yourself.
It's so funny because I talk all the time about researching and educating yourself in this industry. But a lot of times, Neil Soldier, I'm talking about the business aspect, but I will talk about the fact about perfecting your art, the quality of your production and knowing whether you're actually good or not, and who it is that you turn to get feedback, on what you're doing and how you're presenting it, because there's so much more to the package than just being creative. But it's interesting because, I've attempted, to try to write, spoken word poetry pieces or whatever. I'm not good at it, so it's not something that I do very often. Once in a while, I might hit it, and do something that's pretty good. But I've always thought about the fact, of course, I sit here at my desk with a dictionary and a thesaurus, and so I'm like, okay, I get that, because I fall into this, the category of one of those people that uses the same word over and over. You are amazing. Girl, you are just amazing. Okay, Flay, there's much more out there than the word amazing, right? But that's, you'll hear me say that a lot,
That's okay. Sometimes it just is amazing.
But I always say, okay, you know what? You can really learn to say something different than just that. But I appreciate the fact that you say, to educate yourself on topics, to utilize all these different tools, because some of them are, they're available right here on the internet where we're all living anyhow, right? You can look up the dictionary. You can look up the thesaurus. You can look up all the books that you spoke on, and and expand who you are, and and the topics that you write about, and your delivery, and just all of those things that has to do with your art. Okay, so I have another question I want to ask you.
Sure.
I know you're gonna be like, okay, Flav, what kind of show did you get me on? But,
no, I'm fine. Hassan knows me, and hi, Hassan, if you're listening. But I'm fine with that. I actually am. Go right ahead. Take your time.
Okay, so my question is, one of my struggles, in this game is the people who are really good and amazing, such as yourself. And then the people who aren't amazing but think they're amazing. Or they're surrounded by those that say, oh, that was dope. And I'm like, did you just really tell them that's dope?
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? Did you listen to the delivery? Did you listen to the topic? What was there? What was dope about it,
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. And I'm like, what? My feeling is, Neil Soldier, not everybody's meant to do this.
Right.
They're just not. But for some reason, they step out there and they do it.
Mm-hmm.
They step out there and there are people who encourage them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who tell them that they're good and talk behind their back and say they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you step into an arena, now if it's okay, like see at Flavor Coffee House, everybody was welcome, even me. Once in a while, I'd get on my own stage, right?
Oh, okay.
That was for anybody. It didn't matter what your level was, if you were a novice, if you were somebody wanting to take it to the next level. It didn't matter. All were welcome there. That was a beautiful thing.
Okay.
But I think that when you call yourself an artist that wants to take it to the next level, you're starting to produce CDs, you're starting to produce books, and people are, in a sense, encouraging you, and nothing happens. I think you're I think that's in some ways you're helping to shine a very dim light on a beautiful art.
Right. Right. I'd agree. You know, we, spoken word is, the funny thing about it is every art is just like the bloopers we see on American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
We have those kids come in and they get on that stage and they sing in the key of E crap, and it's awful and it's horrible and it's terrible. And they walk out of there crying, and the parents are mad, and they're telling you, you don't recognize good talent when you see it. Well, the problem is we do.
Right.
And, but what I would tell any artist that is, it wants to take yourself seriously. I mean, if you really want to take yourself seriously, there are two things you're going to have to do. The first thing you're going to have to do is step outside of your safe praise zone. And let somebody hear you who doesn't know you and may not necessarily like your style of art. And then the second thing you need to do is take your feelings off your sleeve and hear what they have to say. Because, they, you know, in the community you have people and they love you. And because they love you, they're going to tell you you're dope.
Right.
Oh, my God, you're hot. I love you so much. And there are people that love, you know, they just love art expression, period, good, bad, and different.
Sure.
And they're going to praise you, you know. It is the most dangerous thing in the world as an artist to surround yourself with those type of people. Most dangerous.
Right.
You should always, always find you someplace to go where people don't know you, don't know anything about you, don't know your style of art. And give them room to open up. When we did the, we hosted the Individual World Poetry Slam here this year in Cleveland. And I remember being a judge in one of the rooms, and they grabbed two people just walking in the door. They were like, hey, are you here to listen to this? Would you like to judge? My first thought was, these people came from all over the world to win this title, and you're going to put it in the hands of John P. Public. But who better? Who better?
Right.
Because
right.
either they're good or they're not.
Right.
They were either good or
right.
not. And they told us.
Great
they
point.
Said, they said, don't judge by who it is. Don't judge by anything else. What we want you to judge by is, how did that poem make you feel? Did you like it? Did you hate it? Did
right.
you not like it? You know?
Right.
And we need to do that. But when you get your little circle, you know, you come in and everybody's loving you, and, you know, you could say something that makes no sense whatsoever. And then the third thing I would tell people on that note is stop trying to be deep. I would much rather you be simplistic. Profound sometimes is in the simple things.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, yes, I love the English language, and I do have, I have one piece on my CD called Panties on the Stage, and there's one part of it where you literally need a dictionary if you've never heard those words before. You would
okay.
not know what I'm saying.
Right. Right.
You know, and I mean, I took a crass line and turned it into a super intelligent prose. But you have to be accessible in your dopeness. You know, while you're writing something you think is dope and you're trying to write a profound line, sit back and look at it. Did what you say even make sense?
Right.
Understand the meaning of a word. Don't just use a word because it's big and it sounds good. Learn everything you can about it. But, you know, you being a hot poet is not in how deep you sound. To me, a hot poet is somebody who chose that topic. They mastered the language that they used to deliver it, and I got something out of it, whether it was Ebonic or they used 200 words. You don't have to be deep. You don't have to be deep. You know, some people judge poets that use a 2-4 rhyme, like roses are red, violets are blue, I love God, how about you? They don't like that style of poetry.
Right.
You know, because they feel like it has to be a free-flowing thing with, you know, all these metaphors and all of that. When there is a poet that uses that rhyme structure, and she is the best at it, and that's Georgia Mae. And she's an 8-time Deaf Poetry Jam performer. She's the only poet that ever did every single series. You know, so we want to be deep. You know, we want to have those flowing lines, and I love you like the river flows through my cornrows, and, you know, my hair is streaming, and I'm chasing the essence of you and sipping on your aura like the shoes that flow from, I mean, come on. What are you saying? You know, at the end of it, I'm sitting there scratching my head like, what? And because it sounded hot. Everybody's going, right. Oh, that was dope. And I'll ask them, what did they say? Because I missed that, though. But what did they say?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, sometimes just keep it simple. It's good. Keep it simple.
Right. I mean, I think it's good when somebody can be thought provoking, you know, and you know, and like you know, make you sit there and say, "Huh, what did she just really say?"
Right.
You know, like, did I really hear that right? You know, and like you said, other times it's like, okay, you just used a bunch of words and said nothing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so.
Know the difference.
Yeah, and you can definitely tell who can use metaphors and who can't.
Right, you know? right. That's true. Now, that is true. One of the hottest, two of the hottest metaphorical rhyming, and I don't want to use big words, two of the people who use metaphors with the greatest strength for me are Abyss and Talon AC. On the female side, it would be a local artist named Keisha Nicole Foster and Georgia May, because she's very metaphorical.
Okay. Right.
And but then on the flip side, you know, there are a bevy of those who are not great at it, whose names I will not use to protect my house. I don't want anybody throwing rocks at
me. Right. I got you on that.
You understand where I'm coming from.
Yes, I do. I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just, you know, and I appreciate you allowing me to ask you these questions, because it's something I think about, and it is conversations that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's, for me, there's always growth in just hearing other people's opinions, because, you know, I know that, you know, it's my opinion, right?
It's mine.
You know? and so just because it's my opinion doesn't mean it's other people's, you know?
Right.
And, you know, so I appreciate you allowing me to share, you know, and ask you those questions. So why don't we jump in and play another track, and then I want to talk to you about your CD.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to play Enigma by Neil Soldier.
Easy to get along with, but hard to know, I suppose. Still waters run deep, but streams flow from rivers birthed by seas conceived in an ocean wave overflows so deep it's understated. Judged exterior by my quantity, so my quality is underrated. I'm an enigma, that thin line between love and hate. Either you get me or you just ain't. I speak in concrete, but my life be abstract. Sometimes theoretical, but at times contradictory to who you thought I was. It's not intentional, I'm just neo-dimensional. Torn between holy and whorish tendencies, my mantises can sear the mentals of the most contently moral mortals. Decadent till the sutras regarded as missionary. Love's free enough to cry out, oh my God. If two make it one, then stand unashamed in praise and cry out to my God. My worship intently pure till earth shakes, heaven moves, hell cringes and creation bows. I rock the mark of the redeemed, living that fine balance between human and his. I'm not perfect, but I am his perfection.
I'll be there.
Surprise, a little something special extra. But you can get to know me if I let you. Different, another way you'll never see. You know the only way to be me. Surprise, a little something special extra. But you can get to know me if I let you. Different, another way you'll never see. You know the only way to be me.
I'll be that enigma. My very existence question is answers fail for the why is she. My presence not an occurrence but a situation. Declared lyrically out saying, cause when you insane, skirts and shirts serve shots of time release, spans of time release life as you hug yourself and stare your dreams away in a whitewashed world. Some say I be deep, but mostly I be geek. Would rather read than speak, so I marry them. Can't reduce my poetry to simplistic prose using six words and four lines, five profane with the and in between. Your cognizance of my simulations of humanity's verisimilitudes is paramount, so I script hard, not lazy with my rhyme. I study craft to be good at my crime. Lift and flow irrelevant to teach you what you think you know. Just help you remember if you nod while you grow.
Surprise, a little something special extra. But you can get to know me if I let you. Just run away, you've never seen.
You know the only way to be seen.
Surprise, a little something special extra.
My menu of melody be hardwood floor, old time religion, new breed, gospel, jazz, simmered in neo soul sauce with an order of true hip hop on the side and a tall drink of old school. Raised in the days of all day plays of that's my jam on the phonograph with a penny on the arm and nights of dedications of quiet storms. The authentic synthetic sounds leave me in unrest, so I remain true to the real. Singers who sing, not manufactured with a computer screen. Earth, wind, feel, be my fire. A love of your own, my creed. All hail to the queen of soul, giving him something he can feel. And MJ, the way you make me feel. I refuse to call evil good and good evil. Singing an artist's art. I rest easy in today's silence and yesterday's noise, cause I be a reflection of the way life used to be. My enigmaism say I can do that and not care how you feel about that. Not trying to be different, I just am.
Not trying to be different, I just am.
All right, that was Enigma by Neo Soldier, who is stepping on the leopard carpet with me this evening, and I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled. I feel so absolutely amazing right now having you on my show. I feel really, really excited and good and you know, energized and, you know, feel almost like rebirth. I know it just all kinds of probably sounds silly, but you are definitely a breath of fresh air, a blessing on this crazy weather day here in Seattle, Washington. I have to tell you, I'm happy right now. I just have to tell you that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad. I'm glad that you're liking it, and everybody listening is liking it. You know, I don't take that lightly. There are so many artists out here, so many amazing artists. I deeply appreciate anybody that takes the time to really listen to what I have to say and appreciate it. So thank you.
Well, and I have to tell you, you know, I was a fan just listening to the tracks, you know, that Hassan had sent me. But now being able to have this opportunity to have a conversation with you, you know, and just, you know, hearing how you present yourself and your thoughts and, you know, what you do and why you do it, you know, it takes your art to a different level for me, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? There's an appreciation for the person now on top of the art.
Thank you so much. You know, I'm old school. I come from the time when they actually did artist development, you know, and I think that a lot of artists today, they kind of discredit themselves or do themselves a disservice by not sharing more of who they are. You know, I know that there's media and people will speculate and gossip and everything else. I mean, welcome to show business. But, you know, I always want to try to be myself. I like to think that whenever you meet me, I am who I am. Enigma really is my life story. You know, I wrote that piece out of my producer calling me an enigma, which is, you know, somebody who is just that oddity. It's a standout thing. They are who they are, period. And, you know, the way I am on the air right now, if anybody's listening that knows me, they'll tell you that's the way I am. If you call me an hour from now or if you call me 3 hours from now or, you know, I mean, that's I don't have time to put on airs. It's just who I am.
Right.
Because I won't remember. I won't even remember what I told you last time when I was pounding up that line. Best thing to do is tell you now. You know?
Right. So, you know what? I love the title of this this CD. I know it's called NSV, Neo Soul Diversion, Chapter 1, but Afrode and Stilettos. Okay, so, you know, my girl Monica Monet, right?
Mm-hmm.
She, back in, you know, not that long ago, was known for the big afro, and she
mm-hmm.
wears stilettos, right?
Okay.
Now she's got the long weave and everything going, and she wears stilettos. She's 5'9". With her stilettos, she's, you know, 6 foot.
Okay.
And I read somewhere that you're like 6'2". Afro,
yes, I am.
And stilettos.
Yes, I am. My bare feet, 6'2".
Wow. So that must be kind of intimidating, huh?
It's
when you walk into a room.
It's interesting. It is interesting. I remember walking into a local coffee house that we used to be at here called the Kamikaze, and I was wearing 4 and 5 inch heels before it became the fad now. You know, I was wearing them back in 04 and 05.
Okay.
Because I'm a lover of Italian shoe designers. Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Andiamo Milagro. I love all of them. And they, you know, Italian shoes always come with these super high heels. And I remember the night I wore these boots. They were kind of brown alligator boots, and they had these strands of rhinestones around them, but the heel was a loose heel that was 4.5 inches tall. So I'm coming in the door at 6.5. And there was a guy that was in there. He was about 6'4". So when they saw me tower over him, plus I had the afro.
Right. Oh,
everybody
my goodness.
Like, whoa. You know, but I love heels. You know, I'm a girly girl. I'm more often than not, I'm just kind of dressed like, you know, John Q. Public. But I'm a girly girl. When I dress up, I do want to wear, you know, the high heels and the fishnets and all of that. And I don't care that I'm 6'2", and now 6'6". That just means that if you want to step to me, you need to be 6'8". That's all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I bet that, you know what, but I bet that adds to the whole presentation of a show you do.
It does. I've done shows and had my shoes lined up in front of me.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. I did a show. I remember one of my first shows I did here, I brought out boxes and boxes of my shoes.
Wow.
I do have a shoe fetish, you know. So
yeah. Okay.
It does make it interesting. It does. You know, but
right.
I did it twofold. Afro and stiletto for me, though, was like Afro was the radical side of me. That
mm-hmm.
side that is not afraid to approach any subject and be upfront about it. You know, there are tracks, there's a track like Sister Girl, where I'm talking to girls about coming out of abusive relationships. You don't have to take that.
Right.
And Annie's on a stage where I'm talking to people who've tried to judge me because they don't like who I am. And then the stiletto side was where colors came from, and poetic flow and truth love, you know, that more romantic, girly side. So I wanted to bring the two together. That's how we got Afro and stilettos.
Okay. So this is what, so you answered, I was going to say, okay, what can we experience out of Afro and stilettos?
You can experience all of that. I mean, I talk about everything on that project, literally, from God to sex and all things in between. The only subject I really don't broach a lot is political, and that's because I'm not versed enough in it to want to talk about it.
Right.
I don't have a whole lot of interest in it, and the poem I write, you know, the political arena wouldn't appreciate it. You know,
okay,
like I said,
I'm
going to tell the truth, especially being in Ohio, which is a state they court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll just leave it at that because then I know I'll say something. But I leave that to the people who do it and do it well and they're known for it.
Right.
But I talk about everything, you know, from back in the day when you could sleep outside on your porch. I'm dating myself. See, we were on the same vein. You could sleep outside on your porch and, you know, you could have a block party in the middle of the street and nobody brought a gun. Everybody brought some food and some music. And I have pieces on there that are reflective to help you take time and really focus on, the creator and his creation, and realize how important you are while how minute you are, and strike that balance. And it's called Life in the Key of Relativity. Learn what's relative in your life. And then I have the lovers section, and I put all of those pieces together because I hate buying a CD and turning on a song, you know, to have a nice romantic evening, and right after that you've got some booty bouncing and stuff, you know. I put them all the
right.
four together so we can have it
right.
all together, you know. I talk about a little bit of everything. I have a piece on there that is a tribute to Michael Jackson, who I think it was the greatest entertainer ever, not as people do, but like looking into his crafting and the discipline of his craft. And I felt like when he died, the industry didn't do him justice, so I wrote my own eulogy. But it's a little bit of everything on there.
Okay. So then where can people find your CD, and where can people find out more about you online?
Well, they can find out more about me online through Facebook. I'm always on Facebook. I also have a blog on WordPress called Neolicious. And, you know, that I blog more from the music aspect. I'm really not one to tell every little thing that happens on my page, so you won't see me go, wow, I just stubbed my toe, that was awful. You know, or I'm about to take a shower. I'm not that type of person.
right, okay.
I think you can't give too much information.
Right, exactly.
But, you can find me out there. I'm always talking, and I, you know, I'm not afraid to answer any question. I feel like if it's none of your business, I'll just tell you that's none of your business.
There you go.
I don't have a problem talking about it at all. If somebody's trying to reach me for booking, my phone number's out there. If somebody just wants to chat with me, an email, my email is out there. I do respond back. As far as the music, you can find NFC right now every place but CD Baby. I need to get some more live copies to them. So if you want a live copy right now, you would have to actually come directly to me, and you can use PayPal. The email is neothepoet, NEOTHEPOET, at Yahoo. And just include the CD is $10. Just include $1.50 for shipping, and I will get it right out to you. But it's on iTunes, Yahoo Music, Amazon MP3, and you can also have Amazon Burn You One for Amazon On Demand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody and everybody that's listening to this show live, the people that are on the switchboard, to those in the chat room, to those in the wing, and even come back in the archives, Lady Flava of Flava News puts her name on this artist. Neo Soldier, I think, is amazing for many, many reasons. I mean, you listen to the show, you hear how she speaks. You listen to her talent, it allows you to feel. But I think that she's quality, you know, from just listening to her story, you know she's been around. You know she's figured this out, how to be successful and how to perfect her art and how to just love and be passionate about it. So I would really recommend that you support her. You know, spread the word about who she is. Spread the word that you heard her on the show. Spread the word when you've experienced her anywhere. And tell people where they can find, you know, her work after you've purchased your own copy, because I really, really encourage the support of the fans, you know, and people that experience the art. It's one thing, Neo Soldier, you know, when they hit that like button and say hi, look, you know, and I like it, right? But I think it's different when – I almost think that when you publicly say that you like somebody, then it's almost your responsibility to tell other people, you know?
That's true.
That you like it, because I believe in word of mouth is so very, very powerful, especially when it comes to the game of underground independent artists. You know, when you say that you love something and you tell people, you know, other people that you love it and where they can go and experience it, that speaks volumes. You know, I say this all the time, when somebody tells you, girl, don't ever go to Church's Chicken,
right?
You know, you're going to say, you know, you'd be driving down the street and you're like, oh, I really want some chicken, but you know what? You know, Tasha said, don't go to Church's Chicken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you
mm-hmm.
might go bypass that and go end up getting, you know, something so very different. Or if somebody says, you know, go to the King's Cafe, oh, my God, they've got the great catfish, you're going to say, you know what, I feel like some catfish, I'm going to go to King's
right.
Cafe.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's, I feel it's the same way when it comes to art. You know,
right.
This is how the underground independent artists blossom, not only by just having the right tools and exposure, but by the support of those that say that they believe in who they are and what they do. So spread the word about Neo Soldier. I think she's absolutely amazing. So, Mr. Alvin Lloyd Alexander Horn, this is when I would love for you to call back into the show, because I'd love to bring you back in. So call in to 347-857-1189. But, you know, I appreciate you. You know, you've
Thank
definitely
you.
Got a new fan, and I want you to, you know, keep up with me. I want you to keep me aware of, you know, your products, your projects, how I can best support you through Flava News and Flava News Radio. I definitely do want to explore with you if you are interested, and I'm serious. I do want to explore with you about, you know, what it might look like for you to come out to Seattle and either do
okay.
a show or do a mini tour.
Okay.
You know, because that's what I'm working on right now.
Okay.
It is, you know, doing some mini tours with artists out here and also establishing relationships with other places throughout the United States and, you know, even over into Europe. And so I would love to see how, you know, we could work something out for you to come out here. But I'm going to bring my brother back in and just going to get some thoughts from him. So, Alvin... So what did you think about the show tonight?
I loved it, and it was just so beautiful to hear some of the things that you and I have, you know, had conversations about. You know, Neo, I really appreciate you talking about the artist development, some of the things
mm-hmm.
you see that does go on with, you know, the judging of certain things and the attitudes, the crabs in the barrel type situation, and needing a place that is really focused on just poetry.
Right.
I think that is so critical that the people can go someplace and know that's what it's for, and that, you know, it's not about the band or anything of that nature. I mean, that could be part of the entertainment at a separate situation, but, you know, a place that people can expect to go there and the crowd is managed. I know it's happened to me. I know it's happened to you. You've been on stage and there's liquor in the house, you know that starts conversation.
Mm-hmm.
you know how that is. And you
oh,
know you're
yeah.
up there. And it's even worse, not so much when you're up there, is that you see you're standing and you're watching other artists be disrespected.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you feel for them because not everybody can handle it. You're an entertainer. I've been involved in entertainment. I can handle a crowd and do what I need to do. But everybody's not that confident. So some of the things you guys really hit on tonight, I think it's very critical for us to put poetry out there, spoken word in a way. I have started to get more confident in you singing in my poetry as I have in the past, but it was kind of like, you know, something on the side. I didn't really push it, but I've been going that direction. So, you know, hearing you do your thing constantly, that's something I look forward to increasing myself.
Good. Definitely. Definitely. That is, to me, that is a secret weapon when I go into a club. One of the roughest crowd I ever had was at a club in Atlanta, and I can't remember the name of the club or the name of the venue, but anybody listening from Atlanta would know where I'm talking about. It's directly across the street from Fox Theater. And this place it was like Showtime at the Apollo. Not only was there a bar, but there was an open food bar. So now I'm dealing with food and liquor.
Yes.
And there was no band.
I've had it happen to me in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to let the MC be, he was a major comedian, you know, pretty well-known comedian.
Right. Right.
And so he was really into his comedic monologues, and my opening set for my poetry was some really soft, romantic, you know, things. And the crowd he had got the crowd all revved up with the comedic thing and what have you. And there was just no way I was going to grab them after
right.
that, you know. and there was the liquor going on and the servers going on. And, okay, I'm ready for that part, but sometimes we walk into those things because we're not really the focus, as you said, sometimes here. We're a byproduct that there's just it is a select audience.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have other audiences there listening, it gets to be a big distraction to our artistry. And,
right.
And I would say beyond distraction, just disrespectful.
True.
Something that we have to deal with, though.
Right,
but
yeah.
I love the idea, Alvin, you know, that Neil had, you know, talked about in creating that venue that's just about, you know, spoken word and poetry and, you know, and just setting the tune so everybody knows that when they come there, that's what their experience is. And, you know, and I can visualize it. I think you can too, huh, Alvin?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I can see it. I can, you know, and people, like I say, they know what they're there for.
Yeah.
I mean, even to the point, if you go to a major television studio, they got signs, quiet please, applause please, even to the point that
right.
that you have your stuff so set up that, you know, somebody has these signs they can even flip on, hey, you're getting too loud, audience, what have you, so that the person on stage can deliver their best, and then, you know, that would increase people having the ability to hear what these poets are doing.
Right.
And everything. So
mm-hmm.
there's no doubt that we definitely need that, and as far as being here in the Northwest, it's going to be quite a bit harder as it would be for you, where you're at, Neil. So I'm looking forward to coming out to your city and doing it.
Well, you know, actually, I am relocating. I will be moving from Cleveland, Ohio, to Houston, Texas, in May.
We talked about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
sure,
well, I think there's definitely you know, potential down there in Houston for something like that also. I mean, Alvin, honestly, I think we could pull it off. If we got kind of like what Neil talked about, if the spoken word artists up here come together and, you know, just decide to work together, I think we could make it happen. I mean, it's just like Christy opening her little restaurant and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you know, she's also a spoken word artist, that it's like, you know, I think it honestly could be done. I think there's enough people here that we could
mm-hmm.
we could pull it and set the tone, you know, where it could be
right.
created, you know, all over the United States, you know, and we'll
mm-hmm.
just give Neo Soldier the credit for, you know, being a catalyst for it at all, you know, taking place. But I see it and I feel it. And Alvin, I'm really thrilled. You know, I know I joke with you and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm thrilled that you called in tonight. And obviously I knew that when you were showing attention to Neo Soldier and my postings and stuff like that, I knew that it had to be somebody special that you really, really had respect for. And so it means a lot to me to have you out tonight.
Well, you know, when I seen she was going to be on your radio show, this. Go back to the premise of what some of your conversations that you've had,
mm-hmm.
that you guys, some of your discussions, your real artistry, you know. I'm sure Neil hears it and she knows I appreciate her, but she
right.
knows that I'm into that real artistry of the poetry. We read each other's stuff. We know what real artistry is when she's talking about the things about metaphors and, you know, sometimes I get labeled that erotic poet when I do so many more other things. You know, so I know what she's, you know, what she's saying. And so when you're going to have her on, I said, well, you got a real spoken word artist on. I'm there, you know. So that's definitely why I had to call in.
So you had to give me a pat on the back and said I did good? Wow. I'm going to mark this day on the calendar. Neil Soldier,
you know,
he never pats me on the back. I'm not kidding.
Shame on you, Alvin.
He never pats me on the back for doing a good job. He always lets me know when I'm not doing it well. So, you know, shoot.
Okay, let me straighten this out, okay? Let me straighten it out. First of all, I am a coach, okay? And I come from a very competitive world, and you know that. And if I tell people when I coach them, if I'm not on your butt, you're doing a good job. So, you know, there's another way of looking at it,
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, that was, yeah, okay. Okay, you cleaned that up pretty good.
He did clean it up kind of well, yeah.
Yeah, he did. Well, we've come to the end of the show. I'm excited, you know, about meeting you and experiencing you this way. I appreciate you. I definitely will be playing, you know, the tracks that I have. If you've got any other tracks, make sure that I get them. You know, stay in touch and let me know how I can, you know, help support who you are and what you do, you know, to the network that I have around the world. And, you know, we'll have a conversation and see, you know, how we might work this out for you to come out. And, you know, anytime that you want to come back on the Leopard Carpet or call into any of my shows, Neo Soldier, you are definitely more than welcome to do so at any time.
Thank you so much. And I will keep in touch. I just ask everybody, bear with me during my transition time and also working on my magazine, Purifying the Mic. So I'm going to be a little crazy for the next 6 weeks, but give me a minute.
Okay.
But I definitely will keep in touch with you.
Okay. So as we close out the show, Neo Soldier, can I get you to spit a piece live?
Sure.
Okay. So you got the mic.
Okay. I will do one of my favorite pieces that I first wrote when I heard everybody talking about being black, and they were speaking of it in a negative light, as if we were still oppressed. So it's called Black. I am famous. Anonymously ignored, yet curiously scrutinized as I unknowingly hire security to follow me through fine shopping malls and stores like a celebrity of sorts. Judged not by the name given to me by those that love me, but by those that hate me, you know? Coon, Kigaboo, Nigger, which seems to be bigger, but I'm just black and unique. The defining design from my hair to my behind, all props to the creator, the originator, who, knowing my struggle before my plight, created me in every shade of light, bright, not quite white, to midnight. We are milk chocolate brothers and sons who run the race under the gun of hatred till there's none. So those of you who judge me by my exterior to try to make me feel inferior, that just makes me superior and black. I am wealthy, burying my roots, fruits of righteousness, peace, truth, light, and grace in a race where I'm judged by my face. Impossible, you say? I cannot achieve? Deep in my heart, I do believe that I already have. See, I'm the one who went from toting your golf clubs to telling you which ones to buy, from being a woman on the defense to defending this nation from the rack to the eye, from wearing jail stripes to pinstripes. It's my junk you bump in your ride, and call me what you will, freak, crazy, or ill, but you still lack the skill to move my groove from the number one of all time. It's the thriller. I'm dangerous, bad, and black. And sexy, hips wide to support this stature of royalty, honeylicious, don't describe this booty, and you hate it. Spend all your money trying to duplicate it, taking your straights and twisting them into nappies, trying to rock my fro, sucking your skin in fluorescent chemicals, trying to get my honey bronze glow, sipping champagne through Botox lips, working out in the gym 8 hours to get your hips, that mine are defined 8 hours a day as I knock down walls of rejection. You call me ugly, but crave my perfection, not happy, until in your face you see my reflection, and I wonder, why you hate me? But I'm not here trying to sing a song about how we've been done wrong all day long. I'm here to tell you what we've achieved and gained. And no matter how you try to hold me down, I'm still going to achieve and sustain, because I am famous, wealthy, unique, and sexy. But I'm just black.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Amazing. You know what? As the show is closing out, we've got another snowstorm going on, and it looks like it's actually sticking.
Oh, wow.
But
definitely.
So, you know, I still got my Kool-Aid grin on my face, so I'm just, you know, I'm thrilled. So, again, thank you so very much for taking, you know, time out of your schedule and coming on the Leopard Carpet with me. It was been a pleasure.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much. It was a blessing. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. So we will be in touch soon. And Alvin, I love you. You know that. And I hope you're safe up there on your boat in this nasty weather.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm moving around a little bit, but I'm cool.
Yeah, it's kind of nasty out there. Anyway, so take care. God bless both of you, and God bless everybody that's out there listening to the show live and to the archives. Good night.
You too. Love and blessings, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.